Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. This could be called the happiest psalm. It's titled a psalm of praise. A psalm of praise. It occurred to me as I was studying this psalm that I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think this is the very first scripture I ever read publicly. I was about in the 8th or 9th grade, and I was in school, and we were in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And I don't have the slightest notion what I was doing in that because I wasn't an athlete, nor was I a Christian. And I guess they just, I don't even know why they asked me to read the scripture. And I think probably the reason I chose Psalm 100 is because I didn't know about Psalm 117. It was only 2 verses. I probably would have picked Psalm 117. But verse 1 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. In all lands, wherever God's child dwells, when he's dwelling in the heart of his child, we make a joyful noise. It's a joy that he creates in the heart. And so it's a natural thing. When he's created joy, it's a natural thing to make a joyful noise to him. You know, in Nehemiah's day, it was a feast day. And this is a feast. When we come to hear the gospel preached, it's a feast. The Lord's provided. That's what it is. And it was a feast day. And they read the law. And when they read it, the people began to mourn. And Nehemiah said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It's the joy he gives his people in the heart to behold Christ, behold what Christ has done for us, and behold his person. That's the strength, and it makes you make a joyful noise to the Lord. And really, we have every reason to be joyful to him, and no reason not to be. No reason not to be. Verse 2, he says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You know, the thought of serving is unhappy. It makes men unhappy who are trying to earn a righteousness whereby they can come to God. To serve sounds like work, and it makes men unhappy. They're trying to earn a righteousness before God. Coming to his house is a work. Oh, we have to go to his house. We have to go keep the holy day. And if we don't show up, we're going to fall out of grace. We have to keep, we're certain, this one or that one. We have to go to the house, his house. We have to do this, we have to do that, we have to do the other thing. But when God gives you a new heart and makes you see what Christ has done for you, it's a privilege of his grace to get to serve him, that he's made you willing, that he's given you a heart that wants to serve him because you want to. You get to come to his house. You get to hear his gospel and want to hear it. You get to serve him and serve your brethren. You get to do it, and you want to do it. It's a joy, it's a privilege that he's given you. It's not a job to serve somebody you love. And beholding Christ, beholding what he's done, that's what makes his yoke light and easy, his burden easy. So again, down, look down at verse 4. He says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And don't we have a lot to be thankful for? We have a lot to be thankful for. We don't have anything but what he gave us. Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above. It came from him. And we have a lot to thank him for. And that's why Paul said, in everything you're enriched by him. And so he said, in all things, give thanks. Exalting his name with praise and thanksgiving, giving his son all the glory. And that's the sacrifice God's pleased with. Hebrews 13:15 says, by him let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, he gives five reasons here for joy and gladness, five reasons to be thankful unto the Lord and to bless his name. And we'll look at these briefly here. But first of all, let us be joyful because he is God. Because he is God. He says in verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. Now that's reason enough. He doesn't have to give these other reasons, and these other reasons do only declare the fact he is God. He is God. And this is our Lord Jesus. It's speaking of him, our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus is God in human flesh. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He's the Word who was made flesh and dwelt among us. He's God. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you know, the only cause of unhappiness, the only cause for unhappiness is rejecting God, having enmity in the heart toward God. It's really the only cause of unhappiness in this world, refusing to believe on Christ that a sinner might have life. Now, you think about the Lord, and I don't think maybe I've ever thought about this, but have you ever thought about God being happy? God being happy? 1 Timothy 1:11, the gospel is called the glorious gospel of the blessed God. Blessed means happy. The glorious gospel of the blessed God. The gospel is glad tidings of good things, and it comes from the blessed God. It comes from the blessed God. God is self-sufficient. He has need of nothing. He created all things. He owns all things. Why wouldn't he be the blessed God? He owns it, and every blessing comes from him. Everything comes from the Lord. Everything. He's sovereign. He's doing as he will in heaven and in earth. Nobody's able to question him. Nobody's able to resist him. See why he's the blessed God? He's God. He's God. And holy God has chosen to bless his people. And he's going to make his people happy. Every one of his people he shall make happy. He shall make happy. He's the fountain of all blessings to his people. That's why the gospel is the message of glad tidings. It's because he makes us glad by the great and precious promises he gives us and by the things he's worked for us in his son. It's the salvation he's accomplished, our triune God in Christ. And all these blessings come from the blessed God. So these sinners that he saves, you and me that have been born of the living word, are happy. We're happy. Even when you cast down in this world, you're happy. You're happy. You know, fasting involved affliction, self-denial, mortification, some sorrows involved in fasting. Remember what the Lord said? He said, don't be as the hypocrites are and be of a sad countenance. The Lord tells us, be joyful. Be rejoicing in this blessed Lord of ours. And it is a joyful thing to know he's God. Now, secondly, Look here. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing, because He created us. He created us. He said in verse 3, the second part, it's He that hath made us and not we ourselves. Now this is so of all men in the earth. Our Lord created this world and He took dust. He took dust and He formed a body and He breathed life into Adam, the first man Adam. And all of us came from Him. Every one of us came from Him. He created us. We didn't create ourselves. Just think of the pride and the audacity of little sinners like we are, trying to oppose God and trying to act like we're God. He created us. We didn't make ourselves. We haven't ever created anything. We've taken some things He created and put them together, only because He gave men the wisdom to put things together. And that He didn't do that, but except in His time when it pleased Him to give them the wisdom to put things together. But He created us. He created all things. But this is especially true of His people. This is especially true of His people. Every man ought to fall down and worship Him, because He made us, not we ourselves. But this is especially so of His chosen people. God created us in eternity before He made everything in His purpose. It says He chose us in Christ and blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He created His people. He determined the end from the beginning when He chose His people in Christ and purposed to save a people. That's why He created the world. That's why He created the world. But we fell in Adam and we lost the image of God. He made Adam in His image. He said, come, let us make man in our image. And He made man in His image, but we lost it. We fell and we lost His image. But that's according to His purpose, because He sent His Son for the purpose of creating His people in His righteousness and His holiness. His righteousness and His holiness. When we get to glory, the new heavens and the new earth is going to be made up of a people that our Lord created entirely Himself by His doing and His dying as our head, as our representative. You just imagine, yeah, this won't illustrate it, but imagine if Adam had never sinned. We'd have all been born of Adam without a sin nature. That's how we'd have been born. Well, this last Adam has come, and he came under a broken law in a sinful world with everything and host of sinners against him, all hell against him, the devil and all his wicked host against him. Unlike Adam. And our Lord walked this earth and served God in perfection in representing His people, so that by His righteousness alone He made His people righteous. And every one of His people, through this incorruptible seed, through this word that lives and abides forever, He will beget all His people again. And they will be created in the righteousness and holiness of Christ. And it has absolutely nothing to do with anything you and I do. Not a thing. When He gets finished, just the same as our raising our bodies out of this earth to be with Him perfect, without sin, just the same as that won't have anything to do with any work of our hand. That'll be entirely the work of Christ. When we get to glory, everything about that new creation is going to be the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And right now, this is what gives us the joy. This is what gives us the joy in our heart and constrains us to serve Him and thank Him and praise Him and give Him all the glory is this right here. We didn't make ourselves. If you're sitting here and you believe Him and you trust Him and God receives you, you're accepted of God, it's because Christ created you. He created a new man in you, and that new man is righteous in him, righteous in him. And that new man is born of his incorruptible seed and is holy, and in him is no sin because it's the creation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can't sin because his seed remaineth in him. That's so. He created us. We didn't create ourselves. So that makes us rejoice in him. That makes us rejoice in him. The cause of all unhappiness is rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. It's sinners either trying to completely reject the Lord and just live for self with no thought of God, which is nothing but there's no happiness in that. Or it's the unhappiness and never-ending torment and just constant fear of bondage of trying to make oneself righteous and holy and accepted of God by his own works. That's unhappiness. There's no joy in that. No joy in that. Here's the third thing. Believers enter into his gates with thanksgiving because we belong to our great shepherd. We belong to our great shepherd. Look here in verse 3. He says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That just fills your heart with joy. That fills your heart with thanksgiving just to think about that. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That's comforting. It's common nowadays. Yep, you probably heard this. It's common these days that, with the COVID and all the different things the government is saying, and there's, folks that don't want to submit to any of the powers that be in government. And it's a common thing now to call people who want to obey the powers that be to slanderously call them sheep. Have you heard this? Oh, they're just sheep. That's a title God's people delight in. We'll take that any day. We'll take that any day. It's our happiness being the sheep of his pasture. We're his people. We're his people by the gift of God the Father, his Son, to his Son. God the Father gave us to him. We're his people by Christ purchasing us with his own blood. We saw this not long ago. We looked at John 10. He said, I laid down my life for the sheep. So by his blood, purchasing his people, we are the sheep of his pasture, his purchased possession. He owns the pasture, and he owns the sheep. He owns it all. And by Christ dwelling in us by faith. Here's what Spurgeon said on this. This is really good. He said, God has not left us and gone away. He's watching over us at every hour, even as a shepherd guards his flock. And that's true. That's true. We rejoice with gladness. We rejoice with thanksgiving. We serve him. We thank him. We praise him. We exalt him because we're his and we're the sheep of his pasture. This is our great shepherd. He in the midst of our enemies, he prepares a table for his people. That's right. He prepares this gospel for us and keeps us supplied with this feast right here. But he also supplies whatever food you have on your earthly table. He's providing that feast too, right in the midst of your enemies. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen his seed begging bread. Our Lord's going to provide. He's the shepherd of his sheep. We can't be more safe, we can't be more secure than under the all-knowing, all-powerful care of our great shepherd. It's just so. Here's the fourth thing. We enter into his courts with praise, verse 5 says, for the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. He's essentially good. He is good. That's his nature. He's good. He's good. We talk about, that's good, or you know, that person's a good boy or whatever. And we're talking about in a relative sense compared to us. He's good. He's good. Nothing but good. And he only does good. Everything the Lord does for the sheep of his pasture is good. Everything he's doing in Providence is his hand doing it. Everything. And he's doing it all for the good of his sheep, for his people. And he's working it all for his glory. He's called the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. He's the Good Samaritan. He's the one that found us in the ditch. The religion passed us by. The law passed us by. Nobody would help. But he came. And he put us on his own beast and brought us to the end. He pours in the wine of his blood. He binds up our wounds. He's the Good Samaritan. And on earth, he went about doing good to men. Everywhere he went, all he did, all the time, was good to men. And that's all he's doing right now for his people. He's good. At all times, in everything, he's doing good for us. He's doing good for us. But he says of every sinner by nature, he says, they are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good. Now, you know what unhappiness is as opposed to joy? You know what discontent is instead of rejoicing in him and being confident in him and knowing that he's doing all things well? The opposite of it is this. Scripture says it's saying, no God. No God. You've said there's none good, but the unregenerate man, and especially unregenerate religious man, says, no God, I'm going to look to my flesh and trust that I am doing good by my deeds. And he says, there's none that doeth good. When that rich young ruler came to him, he said, good master, what must I do that I may inherit eternal life? And the Lord said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. That's what he said to him. There's none good but God. And he was saying to him, are you saying I'm God? Because there's none good but God. And it just went right over the rich young ruler's head. He didn't even get what he was saying. But he is the only one good. And he works good for his people. And he teaches you and me not to trust in any merit in us, in anything of our hand, but to entrust his goodness by which we're saved. He promises us, he says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And that's where true peace is. That's where true contentment, true joy is. He said, I'll never leave thee and I'll never forsake thee. We can be content with whatever he gives us because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Remember what he said of Mary? She chose that good part. She chose that good part. That one thing needful that'll never be taken from her. And that's it. That's what he's teaching us in everything he's working in our lives, is there's one thing needful, one thing, one possession that'll never be taken from his people. And that's him. That's him. That's him. Here's the last thing. We enter into his courts with praise. We're thankful unto him because, verse 5, his mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. This is good news. This is the good news of the gospel, is salvation's free. Salvation is free. Now, it doesn't cost you and I, the sinner, anything. We can't earn it whatsoever. But it cost our Redeemer everything. Our Redeemer came and gave his life. But it's by his everlasting mercy and his truth to all generations. This word truth is repeatedly translated faithfulness and steadfastness. It's translated verily, as in surely, verily. This good news is his mercy is everlasting and his faithfulness is steadfast. You won't find God looking at his people one way today and another way tomorrow. He's the Lord Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no change in him, no variableness in him. The gift and calling of God are without repentance. They're without repentance. So when we fell in Adam, that could not turn God away from his elect. That could not turn him from his everlasting mercy and showing us that mercy. That could turn him from his truth enduring so as to call us and teach us this gospel. Christ promised to establish righteousness by his faithfulness. That's what he promised. And his word, he is the truth, and his word is steadfast. Every promise is great and precious in him because it's in him, yes, and it's in him, amen. And every promise that he promised the Father, he shall fulfill. And every promise the Father promised him, he shall fulfill. That way, his promise, his salvation, is everlasting. It's by everlasting mercy. It's by his everlasting covenant. His truth is steadfast to all generations. His mercy is everlasting. His mercy, his love. He said, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And this is what causes sinners to be unhappy, to rage and just be full of hatred toward God when they hear the gospel. It's because we're declaring, and well, he's declaring by this, that pardon, forgiveness of sin, righteousness, acceptance of God with God is free. It's free. It's by his mercy. It's by his faithfulness. It's by his grace, it's by his steadfastness, it's by simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That fills the self-righteous Pharisee with envy at Christ. It fills him with rage because he wants the glory that belongs to Christ. He wants the glory that belongs to Christ. No conditions can be put on mercy or it ceases to be mercy. You think about it. If you put a condition on mercy that's conditioned on something the sinner does, it ceases to be mercy, and it certainly ceases to be everlasting mercy. It certainly wouldn't be everlasting mercy. But Psalm 36:5 says, Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. That's saying his mercy and his faithfulness, his truth, is higher than we can even imagine. It's wider, it's deeper, it's broader than we can ever imagine. It's that steadfast, it's that everlasting, it's that unchanging. You know why that's good news? Nothing can change it. Nothing can alter it. Nothing. Have you found anything in this life that's everlasting? Have you found anything in this life that's steadfast and unchanging? Anything? Nothing. Nothing. Our God, he is the everlasting God who saves by everlasting mercy and truth that endures to all generations. He's got a people in all generations, starting with Adam, all the way throughout time until whoever the last one is. And he's made mercy and truth meet together in Christ so that it's by the faith of Christ that the righteousness of God is manifest. And he's going to everlastingly show mercy to his people. He's going to bring by his faithfulness, he's going to bring the gospel to all his people. And he's going to keep being merciful and keep being faithful to his people so that he will present every one of his people to the Father faultless. It'll all be of him. And when he does that, there will not be one missing. We're talking about perfect. We're talking about complete. We're talking about each one individually being the righteousness of God, the holiness of God, the wisdom of God, perfect by Christ's work. And there won't be one missing. They'll all be there, all perfect. And it'll be by his everlasting mercy and his enduring faithfulness, his enduring truth. Now, if we're forgiven and God has made us to see that we're justified, all our sins have been put away, God forgives us, God says, I will by no means remember your sins. That's what he said, because Christ put them away. If that's so, and you know that's so, you'll be happy. Why? Because the scripture says, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. Blessed is man. Happy is the man whose transgression is forgiven. This psalm begins and it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You probably remember me saying this, and you probably heard others say it too, but Brother Scott Richardson used to say that there haven't been any bad news since I heard the good news. If you knew Scott, Brother Scott, and you knew what that dear brother went through in his life, that's a statement. That's a statement. Haven't been any bad news since I heard the good news. This is why his believing people are so thankful. This is why we enter his courts praising him. This is why we serve him in love and gratitude. It's because his mercy is everlasting. His truth endures. His faithfulness endures. It means he will not take no for an answer. He will not take no from his people. He will not take no for an answer. He's going to save us. He's going to save us. And he keeps on by this unchanging love and grace and faithfulness to us. He keeps on keeping us and showing us him. He keeps showing us him. He keeps showing us him. And he keeps growing us in the knowledge that he is truly all and in all. And this makes you more joyful, makes you more thankful, makes you want to serve him more, makes you come into his house happy that you can worship him by his grace. And you give him the praise, you give him the glory. This is it. This is what he's going to keep doing. Going to keep showing us. All right, brethren, let's go to him in prayer. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for today. This is a day you've made. Lord, we'll be glad. We'll be thankful for what you've done and given us this day and bringing us here and giving us a word from your scriptures. And Lord, we ask you, bless it to our hearts, ask you to make it effectual to us and help us, Lord, to truly see how true it is, how real it is. Make us truly worship you. Lord, we ask you to be with your people everywhere today as you assemble your people, as you make your presence known in their midst. We ask, Lord, that you would truly walk among the candlesticks, that you would bless the word that goes forth and apply it to every heart as you know it needs to be. And Lord, work this very same blessing we've seen here in this psalm, work it in each of our brethren around this globe. Lord, how we do thank you. We thank you. And we pray, Lord, by your will, by your grace, you would truly be exalted in our heart, truly exalted in our life, and that we would serve you with all humility, knowing what we are, knowing what you've done by your grace for us and in us. Thank you, Lord, for this great, blessed gospel we have. Thank you for Christ himself, this unspeakable gift. It's in his precious name we pray. Amen.